Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Your World News. I'm your host, Solomon. This is a special weekend for you in store on Your World News. First, we're going to be starting off with a special interview with at least one young man that I met a couple weeks ago when I had the opportunity to do a workshop at his school on Black history, media literacy, and used hip-hop. I used progressive, thought-provoking hip-hop as the point of departure to deconstruct, you know, dominant narratives that youth these days are commonly fed by the nefarious corporate media. Had the opportunity to use hip-hop as a point of entry to explore different aspects of Black history, Black history that should be inundated and should be taught in every educational center throughout the U.S., throughout the world for that matter, but especially in the U.S. is systematically marginalized, as well as the experiences of and the struggles and the resistance of indigenous people, you know, otherwise known as Native Americans. So it was a really, really, great opportunity for me to build and to learn with some young people. And, met this individual, this young man, and he's going to be joining us. He should be joining us shortly on the program. He's from Baltimore City, and he has some really, really powerful input and powerful feedback, you know, for me and for his peers as well when it came to hip-hop, when it came to the co-optation of hip-hop by the corporate media. And what was amazing about this is to find young people who are high school age students who have a working understanding of not just hip hop, but more so the media. It's kind of an anomaly because, as we know, media literacy is not commonly taught in most public educational systems. But beyond that, young people, and we know hip hop is perhaps the most popular musical genre. As we know, hip hop is a culture, but rap is the musical genre. But hip hop music is perhaps the most popular form of music listened to by youth these days, especially youth in inner cities, but throughout the country. And we know that the kind of hip hop that they're routinely fed is from the likes of Viacom networks, BET, VH1, and MTV, MTV2. And for young people to, even though they're being fed these nefarious, mind-altering lyrics, to find young people, you know, in that vast, you know, wave of tens and tens of millions of young people from coast to coast, to find one, even two, that understand the impact and why they're being fed, this information, and the purpose of this, you know, this mental, you know, barrage that they're getting in terms of advertisements and sexist images and just violent and racist, you know, stereotypes based around people of color, to see a young person that is able to break that down and to understand that. I was pleasantly surprised, because it's a powerful venomous tool. The corporate media is a very powerful and very venomous tool, as we all should know. And young people are simply not supposed to be able to deconstruct these dominant narratives from the perception of, and the perspective of the corporate media. They're not supposed to. They're supposed to imbibe them. They want them to imbibe these messages. They want to become corporate consumers for life, just mindless corporate consumers for life. And they have no regard whatsoever for young black and brown brothers and sisters, and how the impact of this one-sided, imbalanced deluge of stereotypical images being fed to them. They care not what kind of impact it has on the psyche of the young black and brown skin brother and sister. So, without further ado, I met this young man. His name is Tavon, and he's from Baltimore City. I met his friend as well, Stan. I met a bunch of beautiful brothers and sisters that day in this high school in Baltimore, and they were two of the young people that, you know, stayed well past when the workshop was over, and came up to me and started talking to me, we're breaking down hip hop, breaking down corporate hip hop, breaking down the messages, breaking down the psychology behind it, you know, why the media does it. And I was like, man. And, you know, I was telling them I had a radio show, and they said, hey, you know, we would love to come on your radio show sometime. And I said, I would be honored. I'd be even more honored to have you on our radio show. So I'm going to introduce Tavon right now, and we're going to get into a nice, hearty discussion, because it's not often that young people have this kind of platform. They're not provided this kind of platform, especially young brothers and young sisters who see the media for what it is. They're not going to routinely be given, or not going to be given, period, any space or agency on the corporate media airwaves to to deconstruct and to break down, you know, what the corporate media is, what this kind of hip-hop, corporate-backed hip-hop is, and the impact it has, the negative impact it has on youth. They're not going to be given that agency. So, but we're not corporate media. And so that's why, as you know by now, Your World News, this is what we do. This is, we support the community because, in turn, we are the community. So without further ado, Tavon, can you hear us? You're online.
How you doing?
Good.
It's Saturday, no school.
All right, yeah, you're right. Saturday, and no conventional school, but with classes in session. So we're ready to be taught by you. So it's class and learning is a two-way street. So we're our listeners are looking forward to learning a lot about you, your perspectives, and what you think on a range of things.
I was wondering if it was cool before we started our conversation to give a couple shout-outs.
Oh, definitely. Go ahead.
Oh, well, my first shout-out goes to the most beautiful girl in the world, Jasmine Brooks. She knows who she is. And second to my school, Youth Opportunity Academy, and third to my family. And fourth to you guys for letting me come on the show and speak my views.
Oh, not a problem. And this program and this show is always available to you and your comrades to come on and to talk about a range of things. And so first I wanted to ask you a question. Can you tell our listeners, you know, just who you are, what grade you're in, and what future aspirations, what kind of things do you want to do with your future, with your bright future?
Well, like I said before, I attend Youth Opportunity Academy in Baltimore City. I'm a junior, and my dream is to become a graphic designer because I like art. That's all I've wanted to pursue all my life, and that's the path I've chosen to walk on.
Right. All right. I think you'll be an excellent graphic designer. I think you'll be a great. Just the limited time I've had a chance to meet you on two different occasions. And folks, what's interesting is I met Tavon. It was one day, when I went to his school and did that workshop on Black history and dating back to ancient Africa and hip hop and media. I met him there that day, but also I was able to see him. And quite frankly, a lot of my contemporaries, you know, folks my own age, don't take the time to step outside and involve themselves, unfortunately, in community activity. But I was able to see Tavon and his classmates at a rally that was on March 10th at Annapolis, because right now the state of Maryland and the governor of Maryland are proposing to cut $94-95 million from education throughout the state of Maryland, and $15 million of that $94-95 million is slated to be taken from Baltimore City, and that would have and if you know Baltimore City, just like you know many other school systems throughout the country, especially in economically impoverished areas, you know that they can't, they're vastly underfunded as it is, and they can't afford to lose a dime, let alone $15 million. They're underfunded. They need to have money pumped into their school systems to have more programs, have more art programs so that young brothers like Tavon can continue to exercise their talents and creativity with graphic design and start to hone those skills and prepare them for the next level, whatever that next level is that they want to go. But this money would have a catastrophic impact on Baltimore public schools and other schools around the state of Maryland. And we see this is something that's been going on coast to coast. But Tavon and his comrades, his classmates, young men and young women, as well as teachers, parents, community members from Baltimore, they came in. I mean, I can't tell you how many buses I saw out there. There were tons and tons of buses coming out there, and there are thousands of people out there protesting in solidarity, asking and demanding that these budget cuts don't go through. You know, this is a violation of the Thornton Act, which says that these school systems have to be adequately funded. And so if you're taking $15 million out of a school system like Baltimore, they're not going to be adequately funded. Tavon, why did you what are your thoughts on these proposed budget cuts and how they might impact you? And why was it important for you to get out there in the cold, the wind, and the rain that day to march and protest in solidarity?
Well, it's like, I feel as though, like, they shouldn't be taking away money. They should be trying to give more money into the school systems and into the schools in Baltimore City and Maryland in general, because it's like a lot of schools that can really use the money. Like, I've been to schools that's like, some teachers don't even teach. Like, the school condition is terrible. Like, the wall painting is ripped down and all kinds of stuff, graffiti all over the place, and they need to invest money, more money into the schools, in my opinion, instead of cutting them. And from what I've heard, since they were going to cut maybe one teacher from like a traditional school, and I attend an alternative school, and they were going to cut like two teachers or something like that, that one of my teachers at my school was explaining to me. And I just felt as though, like, it's just wrong. And it's just not right. Like, we deserve more. Like, you shouldn't be taking away from us. That's like taking away our future. You should be investing into our future.
Right, right. And you have, and I have to say, you have a lot of dedicated teachers that work at that school. I met a lot of dedicated teachers as well as guidance counselors that work in that school that care about the future of all the students. I mean, I saw it firsthand. I mean, I completely saw it firsthand. These parents and teachers and counselors were out in the rain. It was a very cold day. It was windy. It was rainy. And they were out with the students. They were out with the parents, and they were, protesting, demanding, and working with their teachers' unions. Teachers' unions need to be given the strength. They shouldn't have their strength taken away. They're trying to advocate on behalf of their constituents, and what we see right now, they're trying to take away their legs so that they can continue to corporatize these school systems. And so, Tavon, us at Your World News, obviously including myself, we will continue to do whatever we can to put this information out on Front Street so that not just folks throughout Maryland, but folks throughout the world will know what's going on, and will hopefully continue to write letters, campaign on behalf of breaking these proposed budget cuts, because you're part of the future. That we need to be. You can't one moment say that the United States wants to compete with the rest of the world in terms of having a strong a strong force of folks who are trained in different aspects of technology as well as education, and you want to improve the economy in the future, and all these different things that are linked to education, and at the same time, defund education. You can't have it both ways. If you want to see that kind of future, if you want to see a strong workforce in the future and a stronger economy where people are gainfully employed across the board because they've gotten the requisite education starting on the elementary school level all the way to high school. And then beyond, if they decide to go beyond, whether it's to a vocational school or a college or what have you, the money has to be pumped into public education.
Yeah, I'd just like to add to that. It's like I heard a phrase a while back that says that education is key. And like I said, taking away the money is like taking away the key from us. And like without the key, we can't open up those doors and go to different places and do all these things without our education.
Right. You're right. You're right. You're right. And so you're slated to graduate next year, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to be continuing to try. And I have a strong feeling that this won't be the last show that you're going to appear on our program. I have a strong feeling because I like the way this is going already. Tavon, one of the things that after I was done talking, and one of the points, and I purposely made a point of it to make sure that we said that just because it's March doesn't mean that this is an irrelevant lecture on Black history, because Black history doesn't stop on February 28th. It goes year round. It is something that goes year round. Black history is world history. It's part of world history. So much of world history is connected to ancient Africa as well as contemporary Africa, as well as Africa 60, 70, 100 years. You can't take Africa out of the equation and just say Black history. Black history is world history. And it seemed to me that a lot of your classmates, you know, understood that. I mean, I saw some of your classmates, including yourself, during my workshop, raise their hands and speak and give perspectives that show me how critically engaged that you guys were, just based on the information that was being provided to you and how it connected, you know, and how it brought in your out of school personal experiences into the classroom. What before we get what do you think the impact is of critical thought? Like, because this is one of the things you and I were talking about, you know, off air. What do you think the impact is of critical thought on, you know, youth throughout America like yourself? Why is it important for young people to know how to critically think, and to break down, you know, information that's being fed to them?
Because it's like for hip hop nowadays, it's like a lot of, like, people might not believe this, but it's a lot of, like, hidden messages and things that they throw in this music. And if you don't open your mind and you're not able to, like, critically think, you won't understand, like, what, like, that line. Like, you may think the line is saying something that, like, you like, but it may be saying something else because it's hidden in there. And you won't understand it unless, like, you listen back to it and you think, like, wow, like, something doesn't sound right about this line. Let me rewind a song or something like that. But a lot of people don't know that because they're just too in tune to the music, and like and besides listening with your ears, it's gonna sound corny. But you gotta listen with your brain as well. So you gotta think while you're listening to certain things, because you never know what's gonna be thrown into your music.
Right. And why do you think you know, why do you think they, and like, give me an example of something that's thrown into the music that they don't want you to think about, but they throw it into the music to control your mind. What's an example of something that's thrown into the music?
I mean, let's see, with most a lot of hip hop songs nowadays, it's like they're putting more black people under the same stereotype. Every woman is a B. Every young man is a drug dealer. He's gotta sell drugs, he's gotta have gold teeth, he's gotta have chains, and he's gotta be unintelligent and not speak articulately. He's gotta speak all dull and dumbed down and like not properly speak his English, and it's just like a lot of things that they like, I just don't like the image that they put on people through, like, hip-hop music nowadays, like, mostly through the mainstream.
Right, right. And you were saying you don't, you know, we gave that analogy when I was talking to you and your comrades. I said, if I owned a store and, you know, and it was on your block and, you know, you came into my store, you know, every so often to buy, you know, bread and milk and you know, juice and things like that for your family. And, like, one day you came in. I mean, obviously, if I own the store, you know, I'm dependent on you and the rest of the folks on the block and the rest of the people in the community to basically feed my family. Because if I don't have people coming to the store and buying my products, then I'm not going to be able to feed my family or pay my bills or what have you. And if I just one day you came in and I said, you know, I think you're a dummy, I think you're an idiot. I asked you that question. I broke it down, and all of you said, I would never go to that store again. I would never go to that store again, ever. You know, I would never come to your store again. Why do you think it is that youth continue, and adults as well, people my age, it's not just youth. There's a lot of adults, you know, that should know better. Why do you think that they continue to frequent, you know, BET and frequent these local radio stations, whether, you know, it's 95.5, which is owned by Viacom, and that's in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, or the Q in Baltimore. Why do you think they continue to listen to this music and especially tune into these stations? These stations, as you mentioned, they're like, you know, a good analogy, these stations are like drug dealers because they're peddling. They know how dangerous and how bad these messages and these images are for young people like yourself, but even though they know how bad they are, they continue to sell it to you. They continue to give it to you, and without any balance whatsoever, and making sure that they don't even play, you know, more conscious artists, more thought-provoking artists that have the same kind of good beats but have different messages. Why do you think, you know, people young and older continue to get their music from these digital drug dealers?
Well, it's like me, basically, like youth people my age or even people older at your age. It's like they find this music cool. They don't find anything wrong with it because they've been listening to this music for so long that it's like programmed in their brain that there's nothing wrong with this. They don't stop to think, right, like, wow, why do all my people have to be drug dealers? Why does all my women have to be bees in every song? And why do we always have to talk about money? Why can't we talk about education and building up brothers instead of laying down brothers and killing brothers?
Right.
It's like, that's how I feel about it. And it's like, now, it's like, don't get me wrong, it's like, it's some good elements in, like, the mainstream, but then it's limited good elements in the mainstream. If you want, like, stuff like good messages, most of the time nowadays you have to go underground. It's rarely that you hear some kind of mainstream artist throw something out there that's thought-provoking and gets you, like, to interact towards what he's saying in a good way, in a positive way, and not have you thinking. Like, people keep listening to this stuff, kill somebody, kill somebody, kill somebody. Like, you never know. Like, they may end up going out there killing somebody based on because of this music they've been listening to all their life. It's brought them up to think that they're, like, animals and they have to kill. It's survival of the fittest out here and all this other stuff. People be spitting their lyrics through hip-hop and through different music genres in general, like, and stuff like, and things like that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that was, I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. I could not have said it better myself. That's why I said this is an education, man. We're all learning from you. But that was, I mean, what you said right there, you know, made me think about a lot of things. And you're right, man. It's when you have people that have very limited perspective on information and history, whether it's, you know, their own history or whether it's, you know, they have a limited perception and knowledge of history regarding hip hop. You know, we're gonna get into that in a second. You know, looking at, you know, the hip hop that you told me that you knew about, because I was quite surprised, you know, that, you know, you knew about some of the hip hop artists that I listened to when I was a kid. But when they have no perspective, whether it's young folks like yourself or folks my own age, you know, it's easy for them to be mentally programmed because that's exactly, I mean, and you hit it right on the nail table. You said it's a very limited in terms of what, you know, if any positive aspects they might sneak in there. So it's a disproportionate amount of just negative, racially stereotypical, and as you said, very violent messages. And when you don't have any kind of perspective, then you start to listen to that music. If you're an aspiring hip hop artist, and you have young brothers and young sisters who will position themselves and put out the same lyrics as some of these clowns that we see and we hear on the radio and TV, and so they're part of the system, and almost can't even call them clowns, because some of these young folks that are mainstream artists, they were influenced by the same garbage that we see that's being put out there, and so it's a cycle. And so, yeah, you're right. You know, you have folks. I mean, I do a lot of work in prison systems. I do a lot of work in juvenile detention centers. And I've met some young folks and some older folks who have, without a doubt, said that they were impacted. That, you know, they saw a lot of violence, you know, where they grew up. But when they went to listen to music, that music was even harder, was even more violent than in many cases in terms of what they saw. And so it just reinforced, you know, just this kind of violent, unnatural instincts coming out in them. And so, you know, instead of, you know, settling, you know, squabs or beefs, you know, diplomatically or nonviolently with other brothers that look just like them, instead of settling these beefs, instead of, you know, picking up a gun or picking up a knife or, you know, or settling it that way, you know, they turn to those things, the gun, the knife, the brick, the 2x4, and they take that violence out because that's been just driven into their brain and their psyche so much. And the music plays such a major, major role. And the same thing, Tavon, as you know, same thing with these gratuitous, objectification and sexist messages that are put out there about women, you know, referring to women as bees and H's and so forth, where you have young men who at one moment, you know, will respect their mothers, you know, when they go home and love their mothers dearly. But when they go out, for some reason, they're looking at young girls that they know or don't even know and referring to them as B's and H's just because the music has told them that, you know, this woman, this girl, just because she's a girl, just because she's a young lady, that's what she is. And she's an object of sexual gratification or what have you. And we see that problem there. And so, I really like the way he broke that down because it's a problem. It's a major problem. And yeah, I think go on. What were you going to say?
It's a very huge, huge problem because I see guys, they calling girls these, like, I just don't like that. It just sets me on fire inside. It's wrong. They don't deserve that. Why are they bees? Why do they have to be bees? No woman should be called a bee. That's wrong. No woman is an object. They're a person just like you and I. It's wrong. You treat a person like the way you would want to be treated. Don't call her a bee and look at her like that, like some kind of piece of meat, because it's wrong. And a lot of dudes do that. And not just because that they're men. Some think that he's fooled to think like that. But music has a big, huge impact on their thinking. But people just don't really know that. That's why, like, when I look, like, I refrain from calling any girl a bee because it's not right. No one deserves to be called it. It's, like, I don't, like, it's just, it just makes me angry.
That's good, and it should. I mean, that's a healthy kind of anger, man, and you know, and as long as you, you know, turn that anger into good work, you know, in your community with, you know, with your classmates in terms of continuing to give them the message, the information that you have, you know, the way you spoke up and spoke out during the workshop, you know, I know that you do that throughout the year and you're right. It starts with information. It starts with information. It starts with folks like yourself, all the way to folks like myself and people even older than me, educating each one, teach one, educating folks within our families, in our classes, in our schools, in our communities, and beyond. And once we can start to educate folks in a real honest manner, not watering it down, but educating them in an honest manner where they understand, where we're telling them, like, this is you're a commodity. This media doesn't love you. It doesn't like you. It cares about its bottom line. It wants you to faithfully listen to this music that's going to tell you to go out there and buy, you know, another pair of sneakers, even though you have 10 pairs of sneakers, but they're going to say you need another pair, you know, for some reason, you know, thinking that you have, you know, 10 different pairs of feet or something like that, and you can wear them all at the same time. But they don't care about how much money you have and how much money you're supposed to save or which, you know, how much money you need to pay your bills or to buy groceries or to buy books or to have lunch, you know, lunch money. They don't care about any of that. They care about their bottom line, and they care about their corporate sponsors that pay for all those commercial ads on their TV stations as well as on their radio stations. That's how they make the bulk of their money, is through their corporate sponsors. And their corporate sponsors,
I feel as though it's like, to be honest, this is how I feel, is that they see us black folks living in urban communities or any other ethnicity or any other race, like, they see us as dollar signs. That's all we are to them, dollar signs. And so they're going to keep pumping us up to spend more of our money for them and give them more. They don't care. They just see us as money. They want our money. So if they got to put some real crappy music out there for people to listen to, and people, I hear people listening to some of this music, I'm like, it's not even music. It's just crap. It's like a big ball of crap that they put together for you to hear.
Right. You're right. And they just put it out there, and you're supposed to take it and listen to it. And what's interesting, Tavon, man, as we're talking about this, like, I mean, you probably already had this thought, man, but as many schools as I've gone to, you know, I've had the opportunity to do a lot of different workshops in schools in Oakland, California to Baltimore to D.C., and even in Norway, but it's kind of different out there because, you know, as what I saw when I was in Norway, their media system, they don't filter out, you know, the good hip hop, the thought provoking hip hop. They have a balance. So if you get you know, a violent song by 50, you know, the next song that you're gonna get, you might get Immortal Technique or Dead Prez or something like that. We're here, you know, young black boys and girls are not supposed to get, you know, the hip hop that is gonna empower them the most, because, you know, if they see a whole range of black boys and girls empowered from coast to coast, then that, without a doubt, represents a threat to their power structure, and they see it as such, so they want young black boys and girls, and this is without a doubt. I'm saying this because you can't, you know, come to any other conclusion based on the fact that they limit and they prevent and they marginalize all of, you know, everyone from Mos Def, you know, Dollar Days, where they're talking about Katrina, to Dead Prez, Malcolm Huey Garvey, Malcolm Garvey Huey, all these different songs that they marginalize on purpose. You can't come to any other conclusion that they don't want you to be, they don't want your psyche to be empowered. They want you to continue to embrace, you're supposed to be a thug, you're supposed to be a bee, you're supposed to be a mindless consumer. You're basically supposed to be a puppet to these large corporations that are predominantly white, that you're basically supposed to be a puppet. And Tavon, don't you think, like this conversation that we're having right now on the radio, don't you think that there would be a benefit in these kind of conversations being had, you know, each week, one period a day, in mandatory media literacy courses where students are taught how to deconstruct the media and how to hone their critical thinking skills? Don't you think there would be a benefit in that?
I mean, I think it would be a huge benefit in that, because it's like you can express your feelings, like, because show the corporate how you feel. Let them know that I'm not going to be your puppet. That would really, really help a lot of young people, like, to discover, like, what it's like to use critical thinking and actually, like, see music and other things from a different aspect. That would help significantly.
Right. And so these cuts, I mean, these possible budget cuts to schools like yours, to schools throughout Baltimore, you know, are only going to hurt, you know, because we know that schools, you know, public schools need more help. They don't need less help. But, you know, these are the kind of curriculums that need to be woven into the already existing curriculum. It needs to be revamped, and the curriculum should have these kind of courses, and they should have more history that has to do with people of color, whether it's indigenous, like Native Americans, to you know, African Americans, you know, to indigenous Latinos. I mean, there should be more of that history, because that builds a greater education, a greater comprehension, a greater compassion for people, their struggles, their resistance, their plights, and it starts with what you were doing on March 10th, getting out there, because I can tell you, you know, when I was your age, you know, I participated, you know, it was hip-hop that got me to become very, very active in my community. But, you know, I never had the opportunity at the age you are to participate in such a rally. And so you're doing things that you know, I didn't even do at your age, and it just shows. Like, so I want to ask you, like, how did you get so savvy about the media, and how did you get so savvy about hip hop? Given the fact that, you know, the kind of hip hop that you don't listen to is all around you, it's everywhere you are. How did you learn about this stuff?
Well, it's like, I guess you could say, self-education, because I find, like, out more and more different things about hip-hop and media and other things in general, and I researched it online. And it's kind of like I was kind of building my mind up and learning more of these things as I progressed along by, like I said, researching on the internet. And, like, different friends are more telling me different things about artists and other things that's going on in the world. The news, I mean, the news don't even give you the full picture. A lot of people don't know that. The news doesn't even give you the full picture. They dumb it down, too. Just like the music, they dumb it down.
Yeah.
They want to feed it to you a certain way, and you have to just take it and eat it. They feed it to you the way they want to.
Right, exactly. Exactly. They dumb it down. They dumb it down on purpose. So what are some of your, you know, what are some of the artists that you do support? You know, because, I mean, you were dropping some names of artists that I would, like I said, once again, I was pleasantly surprised, some of the artists that you were really familiar with.
I mean, it's like, I do dabble in mainstream, but it's only like a few artists in a circle that I really like listen to. But I like a lot of underground too, because like over the past summer I discovered more like good underground artists. I found out about a rapper and a producer, Blue in Exile. What's a couple other ones? I've never heard Immortal Technique until like during last summer, and I was like, wow, this guy is great. No wonder I hear about him so much. I've listened to Nas. He's been a huge effect on my life. One of my favorite rappers. Very poetic. A very, very outspoken rapper, in my opinion. Even though he's done like stuff about killing all that stuff, he does thought-provoking music. He's kind of that in between both. And I like Lupe Fiasco, one of my favorite rappers. And I'm trying to think of other underground artists. Dead Prez, and it's a couple others that I can't remember, that I can't think of at the moment that I listen to.
Right, right. And I'm gonna tell you this, as I told you before, I'm gonna start making some mixes of stuff that I have. Just put in some stuff, and I'm gonna get it to you. I'm gonna send it to you so that you can actually have this stuff, so you can listen to it for yourself, and you can start to spread and introduce this music to some of your comrades. Because you know there's a song that came out a few months ago from Dead Prez called Malcolm Garvey Huey, and it's a unbelievable song, man. I mean, it's an unbelievable song. It's the song that I had the quote at the very end of my workshop when I was there, and you know, he said, I'm just saying, if you want to be a rapper, study Malcolm Garvey Huey. And that, I mean, that's powerful, because someone listening to that show, I mean, to that song, I should say, that's your age or younger or whatever, or even older, and they have no idea what they're talking about. Huey, huh? You know what I'm saying? They get on the line, they get online, and they just like you did. You explored all these artists, you know, on your own.
That's what I try to tell to a lot of young people or whatever. I was like, I mean, it's like if I had to be born into another time, like I love the 90s, I was born in the 90s, but I would be born in the 80s, because for real, like people my age, like young people, we missed out of the good, like the good hip hop, the golden age. We missed out on the good stuff, the thought provoking music that made us think and want to participate more in community building activities. We missed out on all that good stuff, and it didn't take me to realize this until just recently, when I started getting more deeper into hip-hop, and I discovered that it's not just a music genre. I tell people that a lot. It's a culture. And one main element to hip-hop is knowledge. And if you know a lot, then that can get you very far in hip-hop. Like artists like Tyler, Kweli, Mos Def, like they're very intelligent people, in my opinion. They say things that blow my mind, that other people may think, like, oh, man, this guy sounds dumb. Like, what is he talking about? And all those stuff. Like, I was like, you just don't understand. And this is your culture. And you need to learn more about your culture.
Right. Right. You're right on, man. Bring a smile. This interview has made my day, man. It's made my weekend, brother. I mean, because I, you know, I don't often, it's like sometimes I don't get this kind of insight from people my own age, people in their 30s. I don't get this kind of insight because, you know, their minds have been co-opted by the corporate media. And so it's not just hip-hop. They come home and they'll play video games for hours on end. And these are people that are gainfully employed. They got good jobs, and they'll come home and they'll play video games for hours on end, or they'll, you know, they'll go watch Atlanta Housewives, a marathon, Atlanta Housewives, or Basketball Wives, or something like that for hours on end, and you know, not take that step, you know, to even feel empowered to go and get involved in your community. And like you said, the music inspires you to get involved in your community. It inspires you because I'm a living testament of that, because if it wasn't for the golden era of hip hop, I mean that told me to get off my butt, get involved in your community. They were talking, I mean, one of the most powerful lyrics I ever heard, you know, despite, you know, us knowing that you know, brothers were killing brothers, you know, Kumo D, who I played at the beginning of this show, he had a song, I mean, he had a lyric in a song. He said, "I never ran from the Ku Klux Klan, and I shouldn't have to run from a black man." And there was a song called Self-Destruction, and that was part of his verse. "I never ran from the Ku Klux Klan, and I shouldn't have to run from a black man, because that's self-destruction." Tavon, what are your thoughts? Because these things are all connected to social issues that we see disproportionately in black and brown communities throughout America. What connection do you see this having with, like, things like, and I haven't even, you know, actually, I mentioned it briefly in the workshop I did with you and your classmates, your schoolmates, in terms of the prison industrial complex. I mean, remember when we talked about the prison industrial complex? You know, it's where you now can find, you know, prisons that are on the stock market, they're on Wall Street. So the people that own these prisons, they have stock. They have their corporations on the stock market. So that means that they're not trying to actively rehabilitate these people. They need to have these prisons jam packed in order to keep their stocks and their shareholder stocks, you know, at top level. And we see how that's impacted young men in Baltimore, where I think, you know, the graduation rate for black men and black boys in Baltimore City high schools is something around, you know, in the low 30s, you know, maybe even lower. And we know that, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that profit off of young men not graduating, because if they're not graduating, what kind of opportunities, if they're not in school, what kind of opportunities, you know, are they going to be presented with in the future? And if they're forced into crime, you know, because they feel that that's the only way for them to make some money, and they get spun into that prison system, you know, it's, once again, it's part of the cycle where we see, you know, black folks make up 13% of the U.S. population, but make up, 50% of the overall prison population. And that's not even including Latinos. How do you think that connects to music and mind control and critical thought, you know, some of these social issues like the prison industrial complex and how much money we spend on military every year? And I'm bringing this up, folks that are listening. I'm not dumbing it down to Tavon. Tavon and his classmates, I never had to dumb it down to them because they got the information. It was the way it was presented to them, but they, you know, we had a robust conversation when I was at his school. And so when I mentioned, so just anyone that's listening right now saying, "Oh, this brother doesn't know about military spending and how it's such and such and how the U.S. spends more money military than the rest of the world," I was there, and Tavon and a couple other of his classmates hit right on. They broke down the military-industrial complex. They broke it down in straight layman's terms, and they broke it down to the science. And they knew that the U.S. spends more money militarily than it does on education every single year. So, Tavon, how do you think that connects? What do you think about those things?
I mean, I think it connects. It's like saying basically they're investing more in war than people's futures and trying to educate people. And, like, what hurt is, like, the dropout rate, like you were saying, it's, like, it's terrible. And it's, like, I was kind of in that category, and it's, like, I had to sit down, I had to tell myself that I don't want to be a statistic. I want to be something in life. I can't just give up because I've had a couple stumbles along the way. Everybody has that, and I have to keep going because more education opens up more doors for me. And that's what I had to understand what clicked into my mind. And that's why I try to work hard as I can and like express my feelings about things that a lot of people don't know how to express their feelings too. Because like I said before, knowledge is key. And it's like they're investing more into the wars and they're taking away from us. Why should all this money go into the soldiers and all the other stuff like that? Like, I understand it's like to help them and give them more equipment, but all war brings is death and destruction.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, you're right on that. You are absolutely right on that. War is not a good thing, and war takes away lives. War takes away lives where you provide somebody an education and you fund that education. And so if you even took a sliver of what they use to finance the military, we're looking at $1.2 trillion that's going towards the military this coming year alone. But conversely, when you look at how much education is being funded, every education is being funded something like $77 billion, and that's for the entire country. $77 billion compared to $1.2 trillion. Education saves lives, and you know that, Tavon. I know that. Education saves lives. It provides opportunities. It provides hope. It gives people an investment where they're investing in their own lives because they're participating in their own education because these opportunities are here. You know, imagine if you had graphic design classes, in your school for folks like yourself to get into those classes and to learn how to use the computer equipment, the AutoCAD, and all these other different equipment, Adobe, Photoshop, and you could get on there and you really create beautiful images, at the same time training yourself and being trained. But conversely, what we look at, what I saw in your school is when you and your comrade Stan showed me is that the history class, folks, much of it is on computer. So you have, history lessons on computer. So some of these schools, they don't even have somebody that's in front of them talking to them and teaching and interactively teaching them about history and about real history. And, it's being taught on a computer. Am I right? Your history class is being taught on a computer?
Yes. I actually have my world history class is internet-based. It's on the computer. So I don't really have a teacher for my world history class. And it's like, I feel as though regarding history in general, including black history and all world history all together, it's just that the truth needs to be told to people. Like, don't change words around in textbooks. That's not right. Give them the whole story. Don't try to make these people look like what they aren't. That's what I realize a lot about different historical figures throughout history. They painted them as some kind of hero when underneath all that, they was actually tyrants and animals and treated people wrong.
Yeah.
Like you were telling me about Christopher Columbus. Like, I didn't know that. I didn't get that from books until you actually told me that stuff, and they gave me a new aspect on this guy.
Right.
And it's like...
Right.
And I wasn't taught that. That's the truth, and that's what a lot of people deserve. Don't dumb it down. I think you would educate people more by telling them the truth instead of changing its words. Like, some people might can't take what they find out, but it's going to be for the greater good in the end because people need to know these things. A lot of historical figures aren't what they're painted to be, but a lot of people don't know this.
Mm-hmm. You're right, man. You're right. You're exactly right. And what kind of impact do you think that has on young people who are coming up? If they're taught, for instance, that someone like Christopher Columbus, who was an absolute tyrant. I mean, he went there. He raped. He murdered. Countless indigenous folks. in places like you know, what's now known as Haiti, Dominican Republic, you know, Puerto Rico, you know, Trinidad. I mean, he, you know, his, I mean, Taino, Arawak Indians. I mean, he you know, took out large masses. I mean, basically it was a full scale genocide. And when we celebrate him, because, you know, as a young person, you know, you come up, you know, you figure that, you know, if my country has a federal holiday, and this federal holiday, you know, is around honoring of a man, you know, then he must be good, you know, and especially if your school is not telling you the complete picture of him, then you know, Tavon, you know, young people are going to come up, you know, worshiping and idolizing this guy. And he was a tyrant, man. I mean, it's crazy, man. It is crazy. And there's so many indigenous people that they know this story because it's been told by their elders. But when they protest, you know, the rest of the country looks at them, you know, as if they're, you know, they're outcasts and cast outs, when really the rest of the country is a bunch of idiots because they don't know the real history. They're the ones that are the idiots, not the Native Americans who are protesting the Columbus Day holiday. They understand. And, you know, you should never, you know, as Dr. King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So you celebrate somebody, we have to be consistent. We can't be celebrating people who are tyrants. You know, we have to be celebrating people who are peacemakers, people who are liberators, who fought for justice, who resisted against injustice, who resisted against, you know, chattel slavery, who resisted oppression. Of all forms, you know. So, what kind of impact do you think that has on the whole psyche of this nation? If we're celebrating the likes of Columbus and Andrew Jackson, and even you know, so many other, we can go on and on and on. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. For goodness sakes, George Washington owned over 300 slaves, and that's a whole other story. But what kind of impact do you think that has on the nation, on the youth of this nation, and the future of it? When these kind of images and celebrations are occurring?
I mean, it's like, it's just, all it's going to do is cause more of a downward spiral among, like, young people and future generations, because they're going to think that this guy is a hero, and they're not even the bad guys and the tyrants in general. A lot of people don't know most, like, what they need to know about the good people and things like that. Like, people, like, they may say, talk about Black History Month, Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. Like, yeah, like, they're still like, Martin Luther King did I Have a Dream speech. No, he did more than that. It's way more stuff that he did. Like, people don't know enough about things they need to know about. They only know a tiny bit, like, let's just say, like, a thin line of what they need to know. And it's just,
yeah.
And it's just like, it's disturbing, because people should know more than what they know now. And like I said, not
right.
Just in music and things in life and different things in general. Just
right.
Have to look at life through a clear view. You have to look
right.
At things like, yeah, just a clear view. Look through them like crystal. You can't just review life like a fogged windshield or anything like that, because you're not going to see everything. You're not going to know everything that you should know. Like I said, I'm a big supporter of knowledge. Knowledge is key. Knowledge is the greatest power, greatest anything you can have in this life, knowledge. And that's what some of these guys fear, is that we just gain more knowledge. That's a danger to them. That messes up their money. Knowledge.
You're right. You're exactly right, man. It's just like KRS-One said. I mean, or Kumo D said, is knowledge is king. It's king. It's king, and we gotta, you know what I'm saying? We have to. And I wanna play a song for you right now, and for, you know, to take a brief break, and I wanna play a song for you, and it's called "Why Is That" by KRS-One. Have you heard that song before?
No, I've never heard that song.
Okay, I'm going to play this song, and I want you to hang up. No, don't hang up. Stay on the line, Tavon. because you're still on live. But I want you to I want to play this song for you and our listeners, and then we on the other end, I want to get your feedback. So, folks, this is a little workshop class that we're doing right now, and so this is kind of an example of what we can do. You know, so I want to play this song, and then I'm going to have you deconstruct this song and what it means to you in your own words. You know, whether it's abstract or right on. You know, and so you know, it's about a 3.5 minute song. So we're going to play it right now, and then when it's done, I'm going to come back on. All right. So,
okay.
So don't hang up. Hey, don't hang up, Tavon. This is KRS-One called "Why Is That."
Hit it.
Why is that? tell us what you think about that song.
Well, I'm still on the line. I couldn't hear too much of it, but from what I've heard, it's like he's talking about like I said, like knowledge is key and why and he was referring to different black stereotypes, and then he was citing biblical verses that involve blacks, and that people were like, yeah, it's like, but like I said, I couldn't hear too much of it, but that's what I interpret from what I've heard. But it's a great song, though.
He was basically, and you know, whatever, you know, and it was more a historical perspective where he was like, you know, he wasn't even talking about, you know, necessarily like Christianity or any religion for that matter, but he was looking at, you know, these you know, characters that we find in the Bible, some that we find in the Torah, you know, and even, you know, some that we may find in the Quran, but looking at these figures, you know, because those of us that, you know, have been raised, you know, Christian or something like that, you know, what we've routinely seen, you know, is that the image of a lot of these, you know, biblical figures have been white, you know, with brown hair, this, that, and the other. And what he basically did is, you know, without him saying anything about his religion or this, that, and the other, he's saying basically that, you know, just without you know, any shadow of a doubt, just giving evidence after evidence that these biblical figures had to be of the black race. They had to be, well, we know that, you know, that there's one race, the human race, but they had to be black and brown skinned. They had to be. And he gives, you know, and he even breaks it down with you know, with Moses, and just giving, you know, just evidence after evidence. But then in the beginning of the song, if you look at the beginning of the song, he said, you know, he's basically talking about why is it young black kids are only taught how to read, write, and act. You know what I'm saying? He said it's like teaching a dog to be a cat. You don't teach white kids to be black. So, you know what I'm saying? Why is it, you know, that black kids are only taught how to read, write, and act? You know what I'm saying? And that, to me, that was one of the most brilliant lines of the song, how to read, write, and act. And, now you hit it right on. I mean, that's, you know, I apologize for the audio if it didn't come out well for you and other folks that are listening. But you what you heard, I mean, that you hit it right on. I mean, that's you hit it right on. Imagine if students like yourself had you know, different sessions in different classes where they had to look, they had to listen to songs like that and deconstruct them, and then even listen to, like, even have the lyrics of some of the songs that they listened to, you know, the corporate media songs, and they had to actually look at how deleterious, how dangerous those lyrics are, lyrics from a, you know, a Young Jeezy song or a Lil Wayne song, and it had them right there where they had to look at the songs and they had to break down the lyrics and how what those lyrics mean in comparison to lyrics like the song that we just heard, or even looking at having to really sit down and analyze commercials. Like, let's look at these commercials. What do you see in these commercials? Even if it's a commercial on McDonald's, like, you see these athletes, you know, that they use to advertise, you know, McDonald's, where you see, you know, these athletes, you know, during Olympic time or whatever, and they're eating a Big Mac and this, that. These athletes, when they're training, their trainers, the physical trainers, are not, the vast majority of them are not eating Big Macs and Whoppers and things of that nature. Because that stuff is like poison. You eat that stuff on a day-to-day basis, and that's like poison. And you know, we know that young folks are eating, you know, and older folks are eating McDonald's 3, 4, 5 times a week. And you eat that kind of food 3, 4 times a week, that food is nothing short of suicide, you know, without even knowing it. That's the kind of food that will destroy your body over, you know what I'm saying, over the long haul. You know, having all that salt, having all that fried food, all that processed food, you know, all that beef that's been shot with hormone after hormone, you know. But this is that's all part of critical thought. If you are not able to critically think in this world, in this society, you will be fed poison into your body as well as poison into your brain, into your mental, you know, through images and those types of things. And so, I mean, you're on this. And I want to say this, Trayvon. I'm going to say this online. This being let's say the 19th of March 2011. I'm going to say it to you, Trayvon, and everyone else is listening, so that if I don't do what I say, then I'm a man that is not of my word, and I mark myself. I don't have a lot of money, but I mark myself on being a man of my word and keeping my word. And Trayvon, I want to say this to you. My show is available to you, not just any time, but I would love it if sometime in the future we work together and put together a show that you are the co-host, or you are the primary host, and I'm your co-host, and we set it up. We set the show up. We get the switchboard set up, and you come on, and you do a show on anything from education to breaking down the media. So my only thing is, as long as it's an educational show, a show based around knowledge, you can be the host of the show. You can host your own show, and I'll set it up, and you can tell all your comrades to call into the show. And you could be asking the questions, the dialogue is yours. You can basically do what I've been doing this entire hour and 15 minutes. So that invitation, is that something you might be interested in down the line?
Yes, I would really like that, because before I wanted to do graphic design, I was actually interested in doing things involving radio and things like that over the airwaves. So it would be a great experience for me.
Great. That sounds right on point, man. I would love that, man. I would love that. And because this is the kind of platform that young people like yourself need to have. This is the kind of platform to be able to give you guys the ability to express yourself, to talk about what you see in the neighborhood, what you see in the schools, what you don't see, and to be, you know what I'm saying, you guys need to be a part if we're living in a true democratic society, if we're living in a democratic society, then it means that young people have to be active participants in what goes on in that society. And so being an active participant means that you're not just put on the side and say, hey, young person, you just sit here. We don't want to hear from you. We're going to tell you how we're going to spend the money in your community. We're going to tell you how we're not going to fund your schools. We're going to tell you what we're going to do, what we're not going to do. We're going to tell you that you need to enlist in the military when you turn 18 and go, fight in some kind of war. You need to be active participants and a lot of folks prevent you from being, but I'm going to give you the space to express yourself creatively, and to basically, set the stage, set the platform, set the agenda for whatever you want to talk about, and it'd be my honor. I think that it's only going to enhance this show. It's just going to make this show. It's going to make Your World News something much bigger and better, because this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to provide this show to the community, and you're without a doubt part of the community, and you're part of the bright, bright future. So I'm looking forward to that. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we adjourn?
I'd just like to say thanks for having me on the show, and I had a great time talking to you and citing my views on different things. And it was just, I just had fun all together. And I would love to do this again. Yeah, I kind of feel as though I kind of got a niche for this.
Yeah, you do. You do. I like the way you said that, man. Yeah, you do. I like that confidence. You do have a niche for this. You're natural. You came on, man. You said some things that, I was like, yo, this brother has got it, man. He has all the creativity, and just has that natural instinct. And what's important is that, if you're hosting a show, if you're going to come on a show, you have to have something to bring to the table. You got to be able to come on the show and be able to give something to the people, so that they take something away from the show. That maybe they didn't know before, and they're inspired in some shape, form, or fashion. And you brought that. You brought your knowledge. You brought your knowledge that you acquired outside of the conventional classroom. You brought the knowledge that you brought in life's classroom into this show. And that's what it's, to me, that's what it's all about, is to be able to apply outside classroom experience into the conventional classroom. That's what it should be about. It shouldn't be this one-way process. You know, education and learning and knowledge should be a two-way process, because if you're a real teacher or professor, you need to have your students talking, you know, almost as much as you, so that you know how to guide them. You know how to guide them when they're going, you know, when they're veering off, or, you know, and even when they're on. And when they're on, you know, you're learning from them. But if your students are just sitting there and just sitting in their chairs and it's just you talking the entire time, you have no idea what they're thinking and what they might have to give, and, you know, where they might have to, you know, you might have to, like, funnel the learning, you know, back on track to what you're trying to teach. And so, you know, you bring all that to the table, you know. So, yeah, you have a niche for this, man. You have a niche for this. You are officially a Your World News correspondent. And this show, you will be on this show, and it's just, all it is up to you. For you to be able to make that time, and we'll set up a show that's right for your schedule, and we'll set up a show after that show, and a show after that show that's right for your schedule, and make sure that we continue to give you a platform, and you know, you could tell your friends and your family to call in, and you host it. Just, you know, just be ready to bring something to the table, because we're not gonna do what the corporate media does and just feed people, you know, mental junk food, you know, junk food for the brain, you know, junk food for the soul. We're gonna give them healthy, organic, mental soul food, you know, straight from you know, our organic mental fields, and we're gonna give it to them that way. So you know, you're welcome, and I want to say to you, thank you for coming on the show. Without a doubt.
I would also like to add one more thing before we close the show down. I just wanted to say out to all women, ladies in general, that don't let a man calling you a B bring down your self-esteem, because you are not that. You are the most important things in this world, and I just want all women, all ladies to understand that they mean a lot to me. And I just wanted to end it like that.
Wow, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, man. That's great. And yeah. So anyways, I mean, that's the perfect way to end the show, man. And I'm gonna end the show with a song by a collection of artists, because I referenced it before. And this song, have you ever heard the song called Self Destruction?
No.
All right, well, this is a song called Self-Destruction, and it was put out by, you know, artists like, we mentioned Kumo D was a part of Self-Destruction, I believe, you know, Dougie Fresh, and it was just basically a collection of several different artists, and they came together, and they basically were talking about social issues, Tavon. They were talking about social issues, and you know, throughout the song, it was like, I mean, just imagine this. These are the biggest, you know, some of the brightest hip hop music stars of the time, and they came together, and they wanted to speak out against, you know, just the crime that was going on in black communities, and there was a lot of brothers and sisters who were being killed, needlessly, and they just came together, and it, like I said, the song was called Self Destruction, and it said, you know, you're headed for self destruction. So without further ado, this is how we're going to end the show. We're going to play the song called Self Destruction. I want you to definitely listen to the show, I mean, to the song, Tavon, and the rest of our listeners. I suppose some of our listeners have heard the song before, but those of you that haven't, please, tune your ears into this song, And for Your World News, this is Solomon. And Tavon, you could take us away. Tavon, you lead us in. You know, what's the name of the song again?
Self-Destruction.
That's it. And until next time, this is Solomon for Your World News. This will not be the last time you hear from Tavon. He will be hosting this show in the very near future.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is
is bugging. It's one of two suckers, ignorant brothers, trying to rob and steal from one another. You get caught in the mid. So to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that you could unite and fight for what's right. Not negative cause. The way we live is positive. We don't kill our relatives.
Pop, 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 when it's shot, who's to blame? Headline, front page, and rap, the name. MC Delight here to state the bottom line. The black on black crime was way before our time.
Chuck a brother's life with a knife, that's right. Cry, cause he died a trifling death when he left his very last breath. Was I blessed to watch his step? Back in the 60s, our brothers and sisters were hanged. How could you gangbang? I never ever ran from the Ku Klux Klan, and I shouldn't have to run from a black man, cause that's
situation. Idiocy, nonsense, violence, not a good policy, therefore, we must so there'll be no bum rushing. Let's get together before we're falling apart. I heard a brother shot another, it broke my heart. I don't understand the difficulty, people. Love your brother, treat him as an equal. They call us animals, I don't agree with them. I'll prove it wrong, but right is what you're proving them. Take heed before I leave to what I'm saying, or we'll all be on our knees praying.
The heavy beat, deep in the heart of the matter. The self-destruction is served on a platter. Making a day, not failing to anticipate. They got greedy, so they fell for the bait. That makes them a victim, picked and plucked. New jack in jail, but just the best they ever drop. There's no one around, cause in jail you're a number. They never took the time to wonder about
self-destruction.
Yes, we urge to merge. We live for the love of our people to hope they get along. Getting a point to our brothers and sisters who don't know the time.
Boys, don't be run around.
Instead in your head, you know our job to build and collect ourselves with intellect. To revolve, to evolve, to self-respect.
Cause we got to keep ourselves in check, or else it's
So that was Tavon. Are you there still?
Yeah.
That was, actually, we have about 4 minutes left, like 3 minutes left now. We had a little bit of time after that that song came on. I'm glad we actually have 3 minutes left. What did you think about the song, Tavon?
That song was amazing. I mean, I never heard of it. It's just like, wow. It blew my mind over here.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the messages that you liked?
I mean, just all together, like that's what we need a lot nowadays, like building people up, telling them that, like, I can't even speak right now. I'm trying to.
It's powerful, right, man? It's powerful. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, that's the kind of reaction, man, I had when I first heard the song, too. I was breathless, man. I was just taken aback. When I first heard that song, I mean, and it was like, you know, this is when we had, like, little tape players, and we had Walkmans, and when you put the tape in, and I remember I had the single of Self-Destruction. I just listened to it over and over again. And then when I saw the video, if you just go YouTube, Self-Destruction video, Tavon, when we get off air, the video is even more breathtaking, because the video, you see the artists, you have Heavy D, you have Chuck D from Public Enemy, but then at the bottom they had all these different statistics, you know, scrolling across the bottom of the video, you know, that showed, you know, the amount of, you know, homicides that were occurring in different communities, you know, how many young black men, like, you know, were being killed, and the rate of homicides for black men between the ages of like 16 and 24 or something like that. And it was powerful, man. And the artists were, you know, we felt like they were talking right to us. So no matter who you were, you felt they were personally talking to you, that they're reaching to you and they're saying, young brother, young sister, you know, our actions are headed for self-destruction. We got to change. You know what I'm saying? We have to change our actions. And I had listened to it over and over again. And like I said, the one of the most powerful lines in that whole song was when Kumo D said, "I never ever ran from the Ku Klux Klan, and I shouldn't have to run from a black man, because that's self-destruction. That's self-destruction." You know, and that's the power of music. And Tavon, that just, I want you to think, when we're about to get off this the air, we have about, you know, 60 seconds left. But Tavon, and anyone that's listening right now, but specifically you, Tavon, I want you to remember how you felt when you just heard this song and the impact it had. And more importantly, I want you to think about why you don't hear songs like that. And you know, I want you to remember that power that you felt when you heard that song, and how motivated, how inspired that you felt, and you said that the song was amazing. It should be apparent to you now that, yes, it is a conspiracy why they don't play songs like that today on the mainstream corporate airways so that the masses would hear them, because there are songs like that out right now. But they're, like you said, they're on the underground. They're being suppressed. So keep that with you. Take that with you next week. Teach some other folks and get ready for the show that you're going to be hosting. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Until later, this is Solomon for Your World News, and my co-host, Tavon from Baltimore. You know, look for us on a future episode. And tomorrow we have a very special episode with Keith Harmon Snow. We're going to be talking about Libya, and we're going to be talking about the nuclear crisis in Japan. Take care. Peace out.
Peace and love.